And welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And joining us is Dr. Hans Perl from the UNC Institute of Marine Science. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Hey, Ben.
It's good to have you back on the show.
I'm glad that we're here and not in a shelter somewhere.
That's right. Well, here we are. And I know you talk about hurricanes a lot. Of course, it's at the peak of hurricane season with something we haven't seen since 2010, to have three major hurricanes out at the same time. Then we have now, as we just heard, Irma downgraded to a tropical storm, but Jose is out there still. But what is your area of research around hurricanes?
Well, I'm not a meteorologist. I'm a biologist interested in water quality and kind of all the bugs at the lower level of the food chain. So that's mainly algae, bacteria. We call them charismatic microorganisms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're really supporting the food chain, but they're also major contributors to water quality problems that we see. And that ties us in with the hurricanes in terms of what's coming into our sounds and coastal waters, along with these events in terms of nutrients and other pollutants.
Yeah. And again, well, with Irma, we have seen their very dramatic pictures. It happens with other hurricanes too, but of the low pressure system pulling water out and then coming back in, it makes me wonder what's getting washed up, what's getting stirred up as you do that.
Yeah, well, that won't be as extreme in our Pamlico Sound system because the system is kind of buffered from the tide. Really, a bigger concern for us is the freshwater input events. And, of course, we had Matthew last year. And then back in 99, as you recall, we had Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some other big events.
Well, we had Dennis 1 and 2.
Dennis 1 and 2, that's right. It drove us crazy out there in Beaufort. Mm-hmm. And then finally it did decide to come in over Cape Lookout and slam us. I guess the really big issue here is the extremeness of these events that we're now seeing. You know, during the mid-90s, we went into a period of elevated hurricane activity, which if you look at the long-term cycles in North Carolina, that's not too unusual. Mm-hmm. It seems to be about a 40-year cycle when things are more active, and then it goes into a slower period. The real worrisome thing here is the extremeness of these events, and this has been predicted by a lot of meteorologists and oceanographers that as the oceans warm up, these events are able to generate more or suck more energy out of the ocean, and that leads to more extreme conditions, and we're seeing it. You know,
you talk about these as freshwater events. When we get a storm coming off the ocean, is what's coming down, is that freshwater?
The freshwater is all the rain that it brings with it.
Right.
And that rain leads to a lot of runoff in the watersheds, and many of the listeners probably recall with Matthew, we didn't really get that much rain here at the coast.
Not at the coast.
But they had up to 20 inches up in the from Raleigh to Goldsboro, and that brings with it, of course, a lot of runoff from the watershed. So what we do in the watershed is very important in terms of ultimately what comes into our coastal systems.
One of the things that we saw with Matthew, that it came up the coast and then all of a sudden was not actually tropical any longer. It spread out. It broke apart. So, I mean, it unwound.
Yep.
And we're watching that right now with Irma. Irma, which is now 400 mile wide or diameter of a radius, actually, of tropical storm force winds as it unwinds.
Right.
That makes that freshwater event inland more significant than washing down here.
Yeah, right. And to the north and the west, which would include some of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of saw the same thing with Matthew, interacted with the coast. And then, of course, the worst scenario would be as if these things slow down and they just keep pumping water.
Ophelia, I think, was that way, too.
Ophelia was out there stuck off the Outer Banks for, 5 days or something with 90-mile-an-hour winds, and it tore a lot of sides off of houses and stuff like that. So the real issue here is if things get more extreme, we're going to have more nutrients and pollutants with these events loaded into our system. And the Pamlico Sound is a lagoon. It's like a big giant bathtub, when you have enough fresh water coming down, that bathtub fills up. It collects the sediments and other sources of nutrients that come in, and they don't just wash straight out into the ocean like we would with a tidal situation. So we're looking at long-term sort of fertilization of effects from these events, and we're currently having a National Science Foundation grant to look at the long-term ramifications of Matthew, and we're still seeing kind of slow release kind of phenomena. It's like fertilizers for slow release. The, these things get trapped in the system, and then it could be as much as a year or two that we have algal growth and blooms that can then translate into other issues, such as low oxygen events in the bottom waters and fish kills and more stress and diseases of fish, for example.
You see the Pamlico Sound, you talk about that as the bathtub. So are you seeing some of these nutrients settle into the bottom?
Right.
Is that where you get it, out of the soil? Or what's
well,
in the
a lot
bottom?
Of sediments wash in. And those sediments might not immediately give a fertilization event. It takes a while for the bugs to chew up the sediments. And then you get release of nutrients later. And we saw this with Floyd. We had algal blooms for up to a year afterwards that were causing low oxygen events in our estuaries as a result of these slow release kinds of things. So really what this means is we really need to pay more attention to the watershed and understand.
What about when you have the buffer areas that have been put in?
Understand how to best keep the nutrients on land. And in some cases, that's going to be impossible because we just get overwhelmed. But there are ways to optimize that, like riparian buffers, putting vegetative strips around land so that that can help take up the nutrients before they get washed into our rivers and coastal systems. Less disturbance of land, like no-till agriculture has been shown to be effective in some situations. Stormwater retention ponds, for example, that allow the nutrients to be processed in the ponds before it washes into our systems.
Right.
And then, you know, probably the most important thing is timely application of fertilizers. You know, we want to be smart about how we apply fertilizers so that we optimize plant growth on land, minimize it in the water. It's sort of a it's sort of a trade-off. It's you know, we know nutrients are needed for growth of algae and plants, but you get into a situation of too much of a good thing,
right?
And that's really what we're facing more now with these extreme events. And you know,
well, we've even talked about that on our gardening section that we have on Thursday mornings. We talk about how, you know, even for your home landscape, just application of fertilizer without having a purpose for it is a waste, and a waste of money, but also a waste of our environment because it washes out
exactly
easily.
Exactly. So, you know, education is key here, and I think the other thing is that, you know, there are other pollutants too coming in, you know, from like parking lots, urban areas, many of which we don't really know much about. So that's another area of potential.
Trying to lessen
concern.
Those hard surfaces.
Yeah. Things are just getting more extreme. And, you know, a lot of the climate experts have predicted that that is going to be one of the ramifications of climate change, is that these events just become more extreme. The oscillations get bigger. You know, you might have, you know, the arguments about warming, well, you might have one warm year, one cooler year, lots of ups and downs, but the extremeness is really the key thing. And now we've had, Floyd, Harvey, Matthew, we've had three events that have been termed 100 to 500-year events within a 20-year period.
Right.
Somebody needs to explain that to me in terms of what that means and, you know, in terms of real change.
What will your grant be doing? I mean, what specifically would we be looking at?
We're looking at the long-term effects of nutrients and also organic matter. There's a lot of organic, you know, like soils and swamps that get washed out. Even mill ponds that were built 150 years ago are getting flushed out upstream. So we're looking at the long-term ramifications of this kind of long-term fertilization effect in terms of how it's changing the nutrient cycles, how it's changing water quality, the incidences of low oxygen events that we're getting in our system, so that we have better predictability, particularly for our fisheries in terms of predicting where there might be stressful periods, where we might need to minimize pressure on certain fish species. And with extremeness, for example, you know, we use the ferries, for example, for a water quality monitoring.
Right,
Ferrymont.
Great idea.
Well, Ferrymont detected a very extreme low temperature event several years ago that stressed the spotted sea trout, which led to this cold stun. We were able to predict that and actually show it in the crossings of the Neuse. And fisheries use that basic data to, you know, close the fishing on spotted sea trout because of pressure.
More data, more knowledge, right?
Well, that's right. Yeah,
there you go.
And I think it's all heading in a very useful direction for our coastal systems.
Okay. You mentioned you're going to China.
Right.
Tropical storm Talim, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping it's out of there, and I'm hoping Jose finally makes up its mind and recurves and goes back out to sea.
Talim predicted to be a Category 3 hurricane by Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I'm flying into Shanghai, which is... quite a ways south.
Quite a ways south. Yeah. So good. You won't have to
I'm sorry. Quite a ways north.
Oh, north. That's right. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Dr. Hans Perl joins us from UNC Institute of Marine Science. We'll have more to come in just a moment here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station.